So again, I'm super excited for this series. I myself am a musician and have written songs over the years, and so it's just incredible to be able to be a part of a church that has the ability to do this and the team to do this with. And so it's going to be a great series. We're looking forward to it. And I'm going to start it out with a rather pretty humorous story, actually. So I have expressed many times to you, if you've been here maybe 2 or even 3 weeks, you've heard that on the side, sort of as a part-time job, I enjoy door dashing, okay? So it's a blast for me. I'm introverted. I can kind of be alone in the car and just kind of do my thing and drive around. I love driving, and it's just been great. So one day, however, I was door dashing, and I was at Aldi in West Seneca. And you do, these are like shop and deliver orders. So you go in and you shop for the order. It's kind of like Instacart, but it's DoorDash's version. And you go in there and you do all of this stuff, and then you kind of take the orders to the customer. So interestingly enough, after this, I had a meeting in the city. So I was just door dashing for a couple hours before I had a meeting that evening in the city with some other staff members and congregational members. And so I was just kind of finishing up. And I sort of go through the process. I've got about $100 worth of groceries in my cart of somebody else's, obviously. And I go through the process, and then I go out to the car, and I pull my phone out and to click to confirm payment and move to the delivery portion of it. And I realize, wait, where is my phone? And like, I freak out. And so you know how Aldi works if you've ever shopped there, right? You go through the checkout line, and they swap your cart out while you're sort of doing your thing. Well, I had set my phone in the cart so that I could sort of do the stuff I had to do, the payment process, and then you also have to bag everything yourself. So I'm doing all this stuff, and I'm like running late to this meeting already anyway. I'm like, I can get this order in before I have to be in the city. It'll be great. I didn't know in the city where I was going. I had the address, but I was rushing, right? So I go out to the car. I realize, oh my gosh, I left my phone on the other cart. So I run back inside thinking it's surely got to be there, and they do things so flipping fast there. Like, it was long gone already. And I'm like, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you lost your phone, and I'm not talking like you lost or misplaced it at home, but you're out in the middle of public and you can't find your phone. This message isn't on technology dependence, but let's just say we're there as a society. I couldn't tell the customer that I no longer could deliver their food. I couldn't like decline the order on the DoorDash app. I couldn't tell who I was going to meet that I wasn't going to be there. If I was going to this meeting, I didn't know how to get there. All of this stuff was on my phone. And I'm like, and then I'm thinking, okay, I can't find it. I'm running out in the parking lot. I'm looking in the cart aisle. I can't find it anywhere. I'm thinking, now I got to cancel all my subscriptions. I got to do all this stuff. I was actually like overthinking the process, right? Because anyway, it was terrifying, right? And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. And long story short, I'm walking around, I'm going back in the store like for the third time, and I see this older gentleman carrying a phone that looked like mine. And I looked over, and the DoorDash app was still open on it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's it. That's my phone. So he was taking it back in. He had taken it out to his car in the cart, found it, took it back in. And then I'm trying to tell him it's my phone. And now he's like trying to protect whoever the owner of the phone is and telling me, no, how are you for sure it's yours? I'm like, look, I can do it all. Finally, he relented and said, okay, fine, here you go. And I'm like, I promise it's mine. And I got the phone, I finished everything, and it was great. But in those moments, I felt true hopelessness. I was like, what in the world am I going to do? And yes, it's sad because it's all based off of the fact that I couldn't have my phone with me, right? Again, that's not what this message is about, but it's a lighthearted example of moments in our life in which we experience and feel hopeless. Maybe you have experienced and felt hopelessness in more significant ways in your life. Maybe it's been a health diagnosis that you've been given. Maybe it's a relationship that you're struggling through, a marriage that you're struggling through, a job change or situation at work or at school that you're struggling through, and you truly and simply feel hopeless. Regardless, hopelessness is real. However you've experienced it, it's real. And it's often caused by a lack of purpose, direction, meaning, or security. An article I found while I was coming up with this message on hopelessness states that hope can be linked to the following vital needs. The first would be attachment, which is a hope for physical proximity, intimacy, and emotional bonding. and spiritual unity. We want to be connected to something greater than ourselves, and oftentimes when we are, we sense hope within that. Another is mastery, which is a hope for productivity and accomplishments. We feel good when we finish some yard work. We feel good when we finish a project or a job that we've been tasked, and oftentimes that brings to us a sense of hope. And another is survival, a hope for overcoming physical challenges, anxiety, loss, fear, and building resiliency. When we've overcome something that's been difficult, we find ourselves filled with hope. But what this article doesn't reference is that our ultimate hope can be found in the person of Jesus Christ. Our ultimate and eternal hope can be found in Jesus. And so our first song that we're discussing this week is called All Our Hope. We've sang it several times now up to this point. The chorus goes, O Lord, for yours is the way, the truth, and the life. Your way never fails, your righteousness life. All our hope is in you. Your truth will empower your people to rise and praise you with power and full of delight. All our hope is in you. All our hope is in you, Jesus. In John 14, as we heard referenced in the video, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he states the following, and I'm going to read John 14, verses 1 through 6, as we jump in to the scripture behind this song this morning. John 14, verse 1 says this, Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And then Thomas, who is referred to as Doubting Thomas, asks a question. He says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know this way? To which Jesus responds, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Which is where we get the very simple lyrics of the song we're singing this morning. O Lord, for yours is the way, the truth, and the life. Your way never fails. In summary, in this moment, Jesus is telling his disciples, and he's telling you and I, do not let your hearts be troubled, because I, Jesus Christ, am the way to peace. I am the way to life. I am the way to hope. And it's not just a temporary hope that you can experience here on earth. It is a hope that goes long into eternity. In this short yet powerful statement, Jesus gives three clear directives directly to God the Father to be able to be in right relationship with God. And so that's what we're going to unpack this morning. A very common verse, a very well-known verse, but a verse that's often very taken for granted. And so we're going to unpack these this morning. So the first thing that Jesus states is the fact that he is the way. The way. So as I was going back to this DoorDash example, I needed a clear destination to where I was going for a couple reasons. I needed to know where I was going to deliver these groceries that did not belong to me that I had already paid for on this app. But I also needed to know where I was going into the city for this meeting. I had an idea of where it was, but I would have never really truly been able to find it. And so we need a way. We need a direction in life in general. And it's the same with our faith. It's the same in this culture today, just as it was in the culture of Jesus' time. And what's the same is that there are so many different beliefs out there as to which way is the right way. And maybe you can find yourself asking these questions or saying these statements in your life, in your personal life, when it comes to any sort of a relationship with a higher being. Maybe you've heard things like this. As long as you're happy and feel good and do good, you'll make it to heaven. You'll be with God. As long as you're happy, do what makes you feel good. Maybe this one, if you believe in any sort of a higher power, then you'll go to heaven. Maybe this, everyone goes to heaven and is unified with God regardless of the decisions that they make on earth. We know and believe that Jesus Christ has a grace that surpasses everything that we could ever do here on earth. But oftentimes we take that and we think, yeah, I can just do whatever I want. I'm going to be okay anyway. You can be Islam, you can be Buddhist, Hindu, New Age, creationist, universalist. It doesn't matter. As long as you're good, you're going to be fine. You're going to make it to heaven, if you even believe in an afterlife. But here's the thing. Because of this reality that we find ourselves in, and it was very similar back in Jesus' day as it is today. Now we have billions and billions of standards for what good even is. We have billions and billions of different viewpoints on how to make it to God, who God is. And to me, that seems incredibly stressful. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody could just say, this is the way you need to go, and there's really no other option? That's what we get in this verse. That's what we get in the teachings of Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Now, with that, I think there's a couple reasons why people struggle to even fully believe or understand this. I think the first is simply a concept of accountability. Because you see, if you and I maybe believe what's in the Bible and we do what it says to do and we're ultimately just generally good, the problem comes in when we actually proclaim and believe with our heart that Jesus is in fact Lord and that we have to do what he tells us to do, and we start looking at it that way, then all of a sudden we find ourselves needing to actually be accountable to him, right? And so many people I've talked to struggle with this concept because they just enjoy living life to the best of their own ability and they don't want to deal with the accountability that comes with being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. But that accountability is not a curse. One of the best and greatest things in my life is the men's group that I'm a part in. I've been a part of it for 10 or 12 years now. And we hold each other as guys accountable in many different ways. This is not a hindering experience for me. This is freedom. It's incredible because I have somebody to go to when I'm struggling. I have these guys around me, but ultimately I have Jesus Christ. He wants to hold us accountable. But so many times we're terrified of accountability, and so we never want to acknowledge that Jesus could ever possibly be the only way. There's got to be other ways. I don't have to deal with that. But that's a lie from the enemy. And then another one. People struggle with this verse because they feel it's too narrow. They think, how in the world could there possibly be only one way to God, the creator of the universe? He did all of these things, and there's only one single way to him? That seems selfish or egotistical or like jealous, or who is this God that we worship, that there's only one way? But in reality, this one single way through Jesus is wide enough for all of creation, for all of humanity who has ever existed. Yes, maybe it's a narrow path, but all are welcome into it. Everyone. No one is excluded. Everyone is welcome. And I'm not sure what's so selfish about that reality. In fact, God is so selfless that he gave his one and only son to die on the cross for you and for me, to take the punishment that we deserve and place it upon his shoulders and bury it in the grave and defeat death, so that we could be in right relationship with God. I don't understand where the selfishness comes in with this. Jesus laid down his life so that we could be made right with God. This is beautiful. So in this verse, in this first portion of this verse, these few words, we learn that salvation is found only through Jesus Christ. Salvation is found only through Jesus Christ. And the only requirements are that we repent, which means intentionally turn from our sins and turn towards God, believe in our heart, and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And this invitation is available to everybody. Jesus invites you this morning, despite your heartache. Jesus invites you despite your past. He invites you despite your imperfections. He invites you despite your failures. This invitation is for everybody, and for this reason, we can place our hope in Jesus. So the first aspect of this verse, Jesus is the way. Clearly and distinctly the only way. Second, Jesus says that he is the truth. The truth. This could be a hot topic, honestly. How many times do we struggle with finding out what is truly true? What is really true? Right? We turn on the news, we turn on the media, and we turn on a different channel and the different media, and they're saying the same thing that this channel's saying, and they're both proclaiming to be true, but yet they both contradict each other. So how in the world are we ever supposed to figure out what is actually true? This is thrust right in front of our face during political season, right? It's like, who's saying the right thing? Who's not lying? Who's lying the least? Who is actually saying the truth and telling us the truth, right? We walk through this life constantly trying to figure out what is true. And Jesus is saying that he himself is the truth. When I look back at moments in my life in which I felt the most hopeless, aside from door dashing, a large factor was that I couldn't clearly identify what was true. One of the greatest ways the enemy tries to pull us away from God and strip us of our hope is by whispering lies into our minds, telling us that we are not worthy enough, that we are not strong enough or pretty enough or good enough or qualified enough for the job that we're in. We don't have enough friends. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough stuff. We don't have whatever it is, you name it. And we start to believe these lies. We start to believe these lies and we start to place our value and our identity in these things that we don't have. And we forget to place our identity and our value in the person of Jesus Christ where it matters the most. And so it's when we start believing these lies that we find ourselves slowly filling with hopelessness. In this verse, Jesus is saying that he is truth. And we can believe him. He teaches all sorts of things in scripture that actually seem countercultural. We've had entire sermon series on how Jesus teaches things that seem opposite of the world. One of the greatest examples of this is in Matthew 5, verses 3 through 10, a reference known as the Beatitudes. It's toward the beginning of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. Let me read this. Matthew 5, verses 3 through 10 says this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, the world we live in would take about half of that list and say without a doubt that the people listed in that list should be experiencing hopelessness. Poor in spirit, those who are mourning and grieving, the meek, those who are persecuted. By the world's standards, those are qualities of somebody who is filled with hopelessness. But Jesus says, no, it's the other way around. You can look at these as blessings. It's incredible. And why can we believe the words that he is saying even here are true? Why can we believe that anything Jesus says is true? Well, it's because just a few chapters later, after what we've already read in John, Jesus goes to the cross. He goes to the cross and he dies for each and every one of us. But it doesn't end there because he raises from the dead. He defeats death and he defeats the powers of sin that you and I are faced with each and every day as well. And here's the incredible thing. These are fulfilled prophecies of thousands of years. Jesus himself proclaimed, I am going to have to die, but I will defeat death. I will raise in 3 days. And then he did do just that. If you want to prove that you're trustworthy, predict your death and resurrection and see how that goes. Jesus is the only one to have ever done this. Not only did he fulfill the prophecies, he predicted it with his own words and his own mouth, and he did it. And if he can predict that miracle of all miracles, we can believe the other things he says are true. We know in this that Jesus is trustworthy. We can't deny it. If you believe even vaguely that Jesus walked this earth, if you believe that he died, and if you do in fact believe that he rose from the grave, we can't pick and choose what we think is true and what we think isn't true throughout all of scripture. Jesus is trustworthy and his words are true. So when he says, whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life, like he says in John 3:16, we can in fact believe that. When Jesus says that those who are persecuted will be blessed, we can believe it. When Jesus says that his grace is sufficient and his power is made perfect in our weakness, man, those are moments in which we can just feel like we're not worthy or good enough, but we can believe what he says is true. When Jesus says he didn't come to condemn us, but to save us, we can believe him and we can trust him. And for these reasons, we can place our hope in him. He then continues and says that he is the life. The life. That's a big word. That's a big word, right? That's such a massive, elusive, all-encompassing word. And I was thinking to myself, if I end up hopefully maybe living to be 80 or 90 years old, I've lived approximately half of my life up until now. And the reality is that I've seen over the course of the past several years that there can be moments of despair and hopelessness in our lives. They're going to be there. But we can, in fact, have hope even in the midst of those, regardless. When we acknowledge that Jesus is our Savior, we can still find hope in the midst of struggles and heartache. And a large part of that is because we understand this eternal perspective. The fact that what we're going through isn't just something that is going to define us right now, but it has the power to shape us and mold us into something even better, more aligned with God as we continue to walk through this life and we have an eternal perspective. You see, our struggles here on this earth are simply temporary. And so you may be going through something right now that seems incredibly overwhelming. And in this moment in your life, it may very well be, but there will be a time in which you pass through that. And if you've acknowledged that Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior, he is desiring to and is walking with you through this. And so in this verse, Jesus is stating that he is the life. And this life he is speaking of is not just something that we deal with here on earth, but it begins here on earth and goes into eternity. Because he understands that we're going to face difficulties, we're going to face struggles all throughout our life. And he desires to be there with us and navigate through them with us. With an eternal perspective, our temporary issues don't have to define us. So many times we define ourselves by our brokenness. So many times we define ourselves by a broken relationship or a failed attempt at a job or you name it. And all of a sudden, all we can do is sort of think to ourselves, that is just all I'm ever going to amount to. Maybe you define yourself through addiction. You're like, I can't break this addiction, and so I'm unworthy because I'm addicted to whatever it is. But God is drawing you through this and trying to help you understand that it's more than that, and you can pass through the flames. They don't have to define us in a negative way, but they can, in fact, actually strengthen us and develop character in us and provide hope that passes all worldly comparison. One of the best examples of this is one of my favorite verses that I've often clung to when I have been in a time of hopelessness or despair or frustration. And it's Romans 5, verses 3 through 5, and the Apostle Paul is writing this to the Roman church. He says this. He says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Some translations say rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. There's an incredible process that takes place when we experience struggles with the perspective of the Lord, and it all leads us to hope. I mean, look at this progression that Paul describes. It's incredible. And if you've been through situations in life that you've struggled through, and I know for a fact there are people in this, all of us at some point have, but if you claim that Jesus is a part of your life, you must have seen how this has worked, that you've suffered, but because of your suffering, you persevered. And because of that perseverance, character was developed. And throughout that, you were able to experience hope in a beautiful and powerful way. And maybe other people even were able to witness and see Jesus working through you in that. That's what we get in the person of Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing, with or without Jesus, you and I are going to face issues in life that are difficult. We're gonna face death. We're gonna face relational tension. We're gonna face things that we don't want to face. It happens regardless if we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ or not. But without Jesus, these struggles can define us and lead us into hopelessness and despair. But with Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is walking with us through them. And as he does, they have the ability to strengthen us, build our character, and lead us to hope. And best of all, no matter what we are going through here on earth that seems so enormous and monumental is still simply a drop in the bucket of eternity. And when you can actually realize that and understand that, it helps shape your perspective. It's how you navigate through situations in life. And that doesn't mean we diminish or belittle the experiences that you're going through. They're real, and maybe they're filled with heartache and hopelessness, but they don't have to be. And you can walk through them victoriously because of Jesus. So we see here that the life we share with Jesus is eternal. It's not temporary, it's eternal, but we get to start experiencing it even right here and now. The life we share with Jesus is eternal. So we're gonna sing this song in just a minute, All Our Hope. We've sang it many times, and actually what I really enjoy about certain weeks, many times if you've come here, many times we have either, sometimes we have a full band, sometimes we have an acoustic set. Today is one of those acoustic set moments where we have like less instruments on the stage, but what that does, I think, is it really allows the lyrics to be sort of accentuated. Not to say anything against having a full band, right? But there's just less up here. And so I would encourage you as we sing these songs to truly think about the lyrics that you are singing. Do you believe them? Because we are going to sing that because of Jesus, I won't be shaken. Can you believe that this morning? Because of Jesus, I won't be moved. As we've already sung earlier, he is our firm foundation. Because of Jesus, I won't grow weary. And we can do this, and we can stand firm in this because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Is this something that you believe this morning? If so, we want to declare that together through song. If you are looking this morning for direction, for truth, for life, for hope, the answer to all of it is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. I'm gonna pray for us right now, and maybe you're struggling with one of those three elements in life. Maybe you're struggling with, is Jesus really the only way? Or can I kind of just dabble in my faith or religion in some other way? Jesus is the only way. Is that something you're struggling with this morning? Maybe you're struggling with what in fact is true. The words that Jesus speaks in Scripture are true. They're all true. Do you have the faith and the ability to believe that they're true? You can, because he proved it in his death and resurrection for you. And then, have you been stuck in the momentary? Have you been stuck in the temporary and not been able to pull back and see the bigger perspective of life? I would encourage you to look back at past situations of struggle and see how you've developed through that. How have you learned through that? God wants to continue to do that in your life as you continue to move forward. Let me pray for us as we continue. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you've done on the cross for each and every one of us. And I thank you because of that, we can truly experience hope in this life, especially in this world in which things become chaotic and confusing and we don't know which way to turn. Who do we believe? How do we get through this situation? Is it ever going to end? The answer is simply you, Jesus. And so if there are people in this room right now who are struggling to believe this, I pray that you would break down those walls, that they would be able to not ignore the fact that you are God, that you are their Savior, and that you want to provide for them hope. Because you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life eternal. God, we love you and praise you. We declare this, we pray this, and we sing this in the very name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand as we continue to sing.